Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Our message this morning comes to us from the gospel passage you heard, starting in verse 18. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" This is God's word. John the Baptist sits in prison, void of freedom, facing almost certain death. He knows that he has been called to pave the way for the coming Messiah, and he knows that he has done what God has ordained him to do. And from his prison cell, he calls and sends out his followers, and he sends them to Jesus with a very simple question: "Are you the one that I was called to prepare the way for?" Now, in this context of this greater story, this might seem to be a very troubling question. For wasn't it John who leapt in his mother's womb at the presence of Jesus? Was doubt now entering into his heart? From a worldly perspective, it sure seems to appear that his faith is shaken. He calls out to Jesus through his disciples in this moment of doubt, seeking assurance, seeking confirmation that the promise of God is truly to be found in the person of Jesus. And Jesus responds, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." In his moment of need, what does John do? He calls out to God, and God answers. And he answers not just with words. He answers with actions. "See what I have already accomplished," he tells John. "You know why I came, and you see the work I have already begun." And although not stated, I believe this gives John the comfort he is seeking in his time of suffering. A great prophet, a messenger called by God to pave the way for the coming Messiah, one whom no man born of woman can claim greater. John the Baptizer. John, who in a moment of worldly stress and suffering, doubts. We might wonder about his faith. Was it waning? Was it failing him as the walls of the world were closing in on him? In a word, no. In his response, Jesus makes clear that the opposite of faith is not doubt. It's unbelief. Unbelief, the outright rejection of God and the promises he makes through his death and resurrection. Unbelief. John hasn't rejected those promises. hasn't rejected the promises of God. He just doubts. But his faith is still strong. It still clings to those promises. And even Jesus affirms that his faith is solid and strong, that it remains confident, that it remains unshaken by the situation he finds himself in. Verse 24, when John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. He said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. And I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. What of us? Like John, we too find ourselves in moments where the shadows of doubt creep in, particularly when confronted with death and loss. Now, John sought physical confirmation of Jesus' presence, and he received it through witnessing Christ's work. Now we too receive that same assurance of his presence, that physical assurance of his presence through the Lord's Supper. There, Christ gives us his very body, very blood. A physical manifestation of his presence and of his promises. And we can look to that and we can know that just like John, Jesus is who he says he is. We can draw on this to relieve all our doubts and find comfort in the situation we find ourselves in. There's more that can be said of all of this. Doubt and faith are not opposites. What is opposite is the source of each of those. For doubt finds its source in us and in us alone. It is in our weakness that we begin to wonder where God is, if God cares, and if God still provides for us. And we struggle with removing this doubt as the walls of the world close in around us and we experience the building pressures of life. This is all on us. This is what we do. But faith, that's different. It's sourced not from us. Faith is sourced from God himself. You see, in our baptism, he sparks in us a faith that is fed, that is nurtured by the hearing of his word. And as long as we continue to cooperate, as long as we continue to seek out his word, he continues to work faith in us, keeping it alive and using it to sustain us in these moments of doubt. Luther writes about this in his small catechism. He says this. He says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. This is our great comfort. Even as we face the same doubts that John did, in times of loss, in times of grief, in times of uncertainty, we can rest assured that our faith depends not on our own strength. The same God who sustained John's faith in that prison cell sustains our faith today. And he does it through his means of grace. You see, the same Christ who provided physical confirmation to John provides his very body and blood to us in the sacrament. The same Spirit who called John to faith continues to call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify us through word and sacrament. So when doubt creeps in, when the shadows lengthen, when grief weighs heavy on our hearts, we need not fear that our faith is failing. For our faith, just like John's, rests not on our own strength, but on Christ's promises. And these promises, sealed in our baptism and renewed by the Lord's Supper, remain true and remain certain, regardless of our circumstances. And in this, we find peace. Let us pray. Lord, in moments of doubt, we can find you present at the altar. It is there where you assure us of your presence and remind us that our faith is not from ourselves, but from you. Lord, let us remember this in times of our own suffering and teach us in these moments to recall the words from Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.